So this morning I was thinking, what should I speak on? And I thought of one of the scriptures that Brother Steve often used in his meditations and messages. And again, just recently, he used this and spoke from it quite a bit. And that is from Hebrews chapter 12, the first two verses. And so I'd like to just in tribute and memory of Brother Steve to speak from this scripture, maybe a little different perspective. But as we look at Hebrews 12, it's talking there about that great cloud of witnesses, and it's referring back to chapter 11, where what we call the faith chapter, where it mentions the heroes of faith, we call them. And in verse 2 of chapter 11, it says, "For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report." And then again, in verse 39, it says, "And all these, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith." And now these were Old Testament saints. They had not yet received the promise. It was a promise that they, it was looking forward to that promise that they exercised their faith and lived lives of godliness because of the promise of God. And now we in the New Testament era, we also live by faith, for without faith it is impossible to please God. And so faith is always a part, an important part of our Christian experience and our Christian walk. And why are these heroes of faith listed here in the Old Testament? Here they're listed here in the New Testament, but they're Old Testament saints. Why are they listed? Was it because they had an easy life and lots of material blessings? The reason they're listed here is because these are men and women that were willing to renounce the things of this world and by faith to see the promise and to receive it and to live their faith, because they expected at the end to be compensated for their faith, and they were. But they're not listed here because of an easy life they had, but they're listed here because they are men and women who were willing to walk against the flow. And many of them in times of extreme apostasy. We were talking about that in our Sunday school lesson today. Israel, at the end of its first existence as a nation, were in a state of terrible apostasy. And these men that are listed here, many of them, some in earlier times, are listed here because they spoke out against the apostasy that was happening there. They were willing to go against the flow, and that's why their names are here. And it's because they were men of faith. Even Moses, it especially mentions him, that by faith he renounced the things of Egypt. And he had his confidence in the promise of God and that there was going to be a city and a reward for him at the end of his walk. And he was one of those heroes of faith. And so the flow is always worldward, more liberty for the flesh to express its pride and rebellion. And that's the one thing I admired about and still admire about Brother Steve, that he was not embarrassed to speak out against those things and to call them out for what they were and what they are. And so as we look here at chapter 12, verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. This cloud of witnesses, I believe that Brother Steve has now joined that cloud of witnesses. And I want to talk about that some more. We look back here at Noah. Let's see, that is found in chapter 11, verse 7. It talks about Noah there. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. Well, how did Noah condemn the world? By building an ark. It was a tremendous expression of faith that caused Noah to build an ark on dry land when it had never rained before. He simply only had God's word to go by, that it was going to rain, and he believed God. But the fact that his faith condemned the world is the fact that he proved to the world that then was that in spite of the tremendous wickedness and evil that was going on in the world around him, that surrounded him completely, that it was and it is possible to live for God even in the most adverse circumstances, and that there was no one that perished in the flood that could not have had the same opportunity if they would have exercised the same kind of faith. And by that, his faith condemned the world. They would not have had to drown. And the same is true in the day in which we live. The faith of the faithful. The Apostle Paul says, know ye not that saints shall judge the world in the same way as Noah judged the world, and the world was condemned. The saints proved to us that in spite of the circumstances around us, in spite of the political turmoil, in spite of economic upheaval, in spite of wickedness and evil all around us, that it is possible to live a saintly and a godly life in the world and in the environment in which we live. In that way, the saints shall judge the world, because the saints prove that it is possible to be faithful. And that is a part of this cloud of witnesses that is talking about here in Hebrews chapter 12. Now I'd like to just go back to the Old Testament. If you want to turn your Bibles to the book of Joshua, I'm going to just be there for a little while. In Joshua chapter 3 and 4, we have here the children of Israel coming to the Jordan River, and now they are prepared to cross over into the promised land. And we know that that is a typical scripture that speaks of the Christian crossing over the river of death and entering into the promised land of heaven. All types have their weaknesses. They are only a shadow, but I would like to present it this way this morning, that crossing into Canaan, crossing over the Jordan, is a type of death. The crossing into Canaan is a type of heaven. And so what were they called to do there in Joshua chapter 3, verse 12? It says, now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And then in chapter 4, verse 4, he continues there. And he says, then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. And Continue reading, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. These stones, these 12 stones, are typical of God's elect. The number 12 in types is always speaks of God's children, God's elect. And now, so those who pass over Jordan, there is a memorial. There's a pile of stones on the other side. There is a cloud of witnesses that speaks. And what do they speak? They say, this is a memorial to the children of Israel forever, that if you're faithful, if you obey, who was it that entered into the promised land? Not those whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, but it's those who obeyed, those who paid attention to the word of God. They're the ones who made it across into the land of promise, the land of Canaan. And it's a memorial there. And when these saints pass on, you know, we have a cemetery across the road here, and there are a number of stones there as well, and these stones speak to us as well of a memorial that if we are faithful, you know, sometime our stone will be there as well. And it's a memorial there. It speaks to us of faithfulness. I appreciated the calendar that we had last year in memory of those who have passed on before. And the memorial that it is there, it's a welcoming committee on the other side. And I believe that our brother has experienced that in reality. We don't know just exactly how it all is. But then we go over to Deuteronomy chapter 12, and I want to continue this thought. Deuteronomy, not chapter 12, chapter 27. We'll come back to Judges again, or Joshua again in a little bit. But in Deuteronomy chapter 27, verses 1 to 10. Now, the thing that I want to especially bring out in this scripture is the importance of those who cross over the Jordan, God's elect, those stones that are carried over, that how closely it ties in with paying attention to the word of God. And Moses, with the elders of Israel, commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you this day. So it already begins there with an emphasis on keeping the commandments. And it shall be on the day that ye shall pass over the Jordan into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, that thou shalt set thee up great stones and plaster them with plaster, and thou shalt write upon them all the words of this law when thou art passed over, that thou mayest go in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, a land that floweth with milk and honey, as the Lord thy God of thy fathers hath promised thee. Therefore it shall be, when ye be gone over the Jordan, that ye shall set up these stones, which I command you this day in the Mount Ebal. Now, I don't know if these are the same stones that are referred to in Joshua or not, but they were to gather them up at the same time, these 12 stones, and to take them across. Here it says on Ebal, there it was at Gilgal, where they set up those stones. That was the first place they camped after crossing the Jordan River. But here it says to take these 12 and to set them up on Mount Ebal and to plaster them with plaster. And then in verse 5, and there shalt thou build an altar unto the Lord thy God, an altar of stones. Thou shalt not lift up any iron of tool upon them. In other words, it's not by works of righteousness which we shall do, but it's by the grace of God that we're saved. Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones. Thou shalt offer burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord thy God. Thou shalt offer peace offerings, and shalt eat there and rejoice before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt write upon on the stones all the words of this law very plainly. So this is what they were to do with the 12 stones that they carried over. They were to plaster them, then they were to write on them the words of the law very plainly. And it just shows us the importance of paying attention to the word of God. It's those who obey his commandments, those who do the word of God, not just talk about it, not just sing about it, not just ascribe to it somehow, but it's those who make it a part of their life and live according to it that are going to be among those stones, those elect of God. And then going back again, when Jesus was teaching there on the Sermon on the Mount and talking about his word, he says there that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. The word of God is eternal. It is without the word of God and paying attention to the word of God, there is no Christianity. There is no pleasing God outside of his word. A lot more could be said about that. But Peter says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. It's eternal. And I won't go into any more of that. It's just, we cannot overstress its importance. God says he will magnify his word above all his name. And so if we're going to make it to the promised land, it's because we have paid close attention to the word of God. And I just want to turn over to Revelation chapter 22, the last chapter in the Bible, and see what it says there about that. Revelation chapter 22, verse 2, it says, in the midst of the tree of it, and on either side of the river, it's talking about the river of life there, proceeding out of the throne of God. On either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now this tree is the cross of Jesus Christ. Sin does damage. Sin destroys. Sin wreaks havoc in people's lives. And in, it has wreaked havoc in the world all around us. This tree is given for the healing of the nations. Peter says that by his stripes ye are healed. And so this healing takes place at the cross, at the foot of the cross. And regardless where we find ourselves, who we are, what our circumstances are, what we have been through, what we're going through right presently now, if we want to find healing, if we want to find a solution to that problem, it begins at the foot of the cross. And it begins with our own repentance and our own cleansing and our own crying out to God for his mercy. And it's not only that, but in verse 14 then, he says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to this tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Access to the cross is determined by our attitude toward the word of God. We cannot bypass the cross if we're going to enter into that city. We cannot bypass the cross. And we cannot access the cross in rebellion and pride and disobedience. It's closed to us. What did God command Moses to do with those brass censers that that the priests of the prominent man of Israel had when they rebelled against God? He said, make them into two brass plates and put them on the altar and cover the altar with them. And it's simply symbolic of saying that in rebellion and in pride, the cross is blocked. There is no access to the cross. with that kind of an attitude and that kind of a spirit. Regardless of who we are, who we claim to be, and what we say. But here he says that, or the emphasis I want to leave here is paying attention to the Word of God. We cannot bypass the Word of God. If we bypass the Word of God, we cut off our access to the cross, and the cross is our only hope. That's where the blood is applied. That's where we come to be reconciled with God, and we find our peace with Him. Okay, going back to Joshua chapter 3 again. I'll try to bring this to conclusion here. Joshua chapter 3, but I want it to finally make sense. In verse 7, it says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel." This day, the day that they crossed the Jordan River, the day of death. And the Bible tells us that Jesus tasted death for every man. And it says that through death he destroyed him that had the power of death, that for those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage, he brought deliverance. And so on the day of death, on the day of Jesus' death, which is symbolic of the priest standing in the center, in the middle of the Jordan, holding the ark. He says, "This day will I begin to magnify thee," talking about Joshua. Joshua is a type of Christ the Conqueror. He is the one who entered into the promised land. And Jesus also conquered death, and he opened the way for us to enter into the promised land. The veil was rent from top to bottom. And here he says he's going to begin to magnify him. And then also in chapter 4, verse 14, it says, "On that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, on the day that they crossed the Jordan River, and they feared him, and they feared Moses and all the days of his life." And so, and then finally in verse 10, it says, "For the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished." Till everything was finished. Now we go back again to Hebrews chapter 2, chapter 12, verse 2. And here he says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And today he is exalted above every name that is in heaven and that is in earth. He is magnified. He is exalted. He is at the right hand of the throne of God. And that is his position today as our Savior and Redeemer." And now finally in chapter 13, verse 12. "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come." Are we willing to take that route? The way of the cross, the reproach of Christ. I believe our brother has found that city. And he has found that city, and he has entered in on the merits of the shed blood of Jesus Christ and by the work of Calvary, but also that was made available, as it is to all of us, by paying attention to the Word of God and living in obedience to it. Shall we kneel in prayer?